start here in verse 12 and go to the end of the chapter. Exodus 33. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto them, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for thou shalt no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shalt thou not see. I want to take this prayer of Moses, and I want to say a few things about it. As we listened to his prayer and looked at his prayer, God's servant, the one who God separated, sent him down to Egypt to bring his people out. I believe as we look at this prayer together, we'll see that all of us are like him. We have the same needs, same desires, same request. You know, we have this treasure, great, glorious treasure of the gospel. In the gospel, we have the blessed riches of God's grace in Christ. But turn around and also we have this treasure in earthen vessels, in clay pots. And I tell you what, when this treasure in us starts making requests, Moses made four God-honoring requests here as he prayed before God. Four God-honoring requests. The first thing he added is, God, will you guide me? Will you guide me? Will you be my guide? Ain't that what he says there in verse 13? Now therefore I pray thee, if I found grace in my sight, in thy sight, show me now thy way. He said, Oh Lord, I want to know your way. I want to know your way. Show me now thy way. You know, there's lots of people. God said over, and I think it's the 103rd Psalm, he says, God showed Moses his ways and his acts unto the children of Israel. Now you can see creation and see God's acts. You can see God's acts in the thunderstorm and in the lightning. But you can't see God's way. You can't see his way, that he does things according to his word. You can't see his way of what he does and working in his people. We don't see the glory of his saving power, of his righteousness, of his dealings with sinners like ourselves, of his salvation. We got that hymn that's in, I think it's 337 in the book. Teach me thy way, O Lord, teach me thy way. That's what Moses is saying. Show me now thy way. I want to know Your way, Lord. Not my way, your way. Forget my way. My way's got to always be wrong, but your way's always right. Now, so show me now your way. I want to know the way you are. The way you do things. I want to know you in your way. And oh my, see, he felt and he knew the need of God's Spirit to lead him. You know, the Scripture said in Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit, they're the sons of God. Now, the Spirit of God, when He leads us, where does there's one place He leads every one of us to? You know, people talk about the Spirit, you know, He leads us to do good, He leads us to do this, He leads us to do that. But there's one place that I know the Bible is clear on this. When the Holy Spirit leads us, He always leads us to Christ and no place else. And always does. And I'm telling you, that's what He says. Lord, I need to know that You'll lead me. Show me now Thy way. And He asked this for two reasons. Look what He said. Here's the first reason. I said, O Lord, if I have found grace in Thy sight, show me Thy way. Here's the first reason He says it. Because if I know Thy way, I may know Thee. That I may know Thee. Let me ask you something. Moses spent 40 days on the mountain with God. One time, went back up again, spent another 40 days with God. And he, when he was up there on that mountain, he had the glory of God on him so much that when he came down, he had to put a veil on his face. Because they couldn't look on him. Now, how in the world can he say, I spent 40 days in one time, 40 days in another time, and then he turns around and says, I want to know it. I don't find any problem with that at all. You, we're like the Apostle Paul when he says, Lord, and you know, and yet after spending all that time with him on the mountain, he still hungered. He still desired. He still wanted. He needed to know the Lord. I want to know You. I want to know You. Paul said, I want to know Christ. You think he didn't know Christ? Yes, he knew Christ. But he still turned around and said, I want to know Him. Oh, how I want to know Him. I want to know Him personally. I want to know Him intimately. I want to know Him in His power. I want to know Him in His resurrection. I want to know Him in His sufferings. I want to know Him. I want to know Christ. Oh, I want to know Him. And that's what Moses said. Show me Thy way, because I want to know You. Lord, I want to know You. I don't want to know some things about You. I want to know You. Oh, my. And here's the second reason he asked. God just got through telling him, said, you found grace in my sight. But listen to what Moses said, that I may know thee, and that I may find grace in thy sight. He'd been in God's sight for going on 40 years. God found him on the backside of the desert. Appeared to him in a burning bush. Moses, Moses. And then he turns around and said, Lord, I want to find grace. I want to know that You give me grace. I want grace. I need grace. I need to know that I find grace in Your sight. I don't care what Israel says about me. I don't care what anybody else thinks about me. I don't care what Aaron thinks about me. Or my sister Miriam. I want to know that I found grace in Your sight. It's kind of like Ruth. When she was following and gleaning in Boaz's fields, and she was just gleaning, and Boaz threw out a handful on purpose. That's what Moses asked for, Lord. Let me know that I found grace in Your sight. And our Lord Jesus, this is an amazing thing what He does for us. He sent His disciples out, and He sent them out without any money. Sent them out without anything to eat. He just said, go and you preach. He said, don't take a thing in the world with you. Nothing. Don't take nothing with you. Just go preach. They got back. He said, did you lack anything? Mm-hmm. They said, nothing. Nothing. And that's what Moses asked. Lord, I know you told me that I had grace. But I want to know I've got grace. I want to experience grace. I told Shirley on the way to service this morning, you cannot have the grace of God in your life and not experience grace. You can't do it. Grace is an experience. I know we don't want to talk about experiences, but you cannot, God in grace cannot come and save you and teach you and bring you to know Him above everything else and that not be an experience. It's one of the, and I tell you what, once you experience that, you never get over it. That's what Moses is saying. I've been in your sight, Lord, but I still want to know you. I want to know which way you're going, and I want to know if I found grace in your sight. And he's saying, listen, I want grace for the day. I want grace for the hour. I want grace for the moment. I want grace to endure. I want grace to enjoy you. I want grace to help. I want grace to hope. And I need your grace so that I can show grace. You can't even show grace without grace. Can you? And I need grace to show grace. And here's the second thing now he asked for. Listen to this prayer. And he says now, down in verse 15, he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Lord, if you don't go, I ain't going. If you're not with me, I ain't going. I'm not going to go. I don't care how well the land is. I don't care how much milk and honey that's in it. I'm not going. If you don't go and don't go with me, I'm not going to go, Lord. Oh, Lord, do your presence go with me. And here's the thing. When Moses had God's presence, and then he had God's promise that I'll go with you, he would go anywhere, do anything, endure anything, and do anything that God told him to do with his promise and his presence. And look what the Lord said to him in verse 14. And he said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give thee rest. So God turns and promises to give him his presence. Give him his presence. And you know what happens when God says he goes with him? He said, I'll give you rest. Now, Moses, how in the world are you going to have rest when you're going? How are you going to have rest when you got 2 million people to lead? How can you rest while you're doing? Well, we do it all the time. We go on living our lives and we rest in Christ. There's never a time that we're not resting in Christ. Never a time that we're not resting in Christ. And how do you go and rest while you're going and while you're doing? Well, we do it in the Lord Jesus Christ. And His very presence, God's very presence, Christ's very presence, gives us rest, gives us security, gives us peace in this world. Dorothy said yesterday, I was talking, you know, I was just texting her, wasn't talking to her, but I was texting her. And you know, she's with Bill, she's had a, Bill had been very sick, very weak. And I said, well, you know, God's with you. God's with you. God's going to keep you. He's going to uphold you through every bit of this. She said, that's my only hope.
Yeah.
That's my only hope. God's going to hold me up. God go hold me. He ain't going to let me fall. He's going to hold me up. And that's what Moses is saying. Oh, Lord, I've got to take these people across. He said, I'm going to be with you. That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know. And I tell you when we'll really need Him to be with us. When we get ready to cross that Jordan River. They're going to go across Jordan River. And if God goes across the river with us, it'll be the easiest journey you ever took. It'll be the sweetest journey you ever. And I'll tell you what, you won't have to swim. As He parted the way for them to go through, He's going to part for us to go through. Oh, what a blessed hope we have. And our fellowship is with God and with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, this fellowship is so real. And that's why He says, carry us not up hence. This fellowship that we have with God and this union we have with Christ is so real. It's like God carrying us. And I said it this morning. He said, I'll carry you. In your old age, I'll carry you. I'll pick you up from your mother's womb and I'll carry you. When you get old and gray-headed, I'll carry you. I'll carry you. And we're underneath them everlasting arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all this, and not only did He promise His presence go with Him, mean fellowship and rest, but protection and victory. You remember when we talked about that cloudy pillar last week? Well, I tell you what, His presence is our cloud by the day and our pillar of fire by night. I mean, He'll never, ever leave us nor forsake us. You know what He said? Let your conversation be without covetousness. For He has said, I will never, no never, no never, no never leave you or forsake you. Never do it. Never, never do it. There's been a lot of wives left their husbands, a lot of husbands left their wives. But Christ ain't never going to leave us. Even when we get into eternity, He's never going to leave us. What a rest that is. What a rest. I'm never going to leave you. Our minds may leave us, but He's not. Our strength will leave us, but He won't. Our breath will leave us, but He won't. Our heart will stop beating, but His won't. We'll go blind, but He's still. Whatever goes on in this world, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And here's another thing they ask. Look what He says here in verse 16. He said, wherein shall it be known here, right here now, wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? And that's what He wants to know. How's everybody going to know? How's it going to be made manifest that you're our God? Wherein shall it be known that I and thy people, have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Wherein shall it be known? How's everybody going to know that you are God? How's everybody going to know? How's everybody going to know? Well, He said, go separate us. Look what He said here. So shall we be separated, I and thy people? That's how we're going to know we're God's for us. Shall we be separated? You know, God makes such a difference that He separates people in this world. He separated Cain and Abel. Separated Isaac and Ishmael. He separated people, always separated people. And He's in the people that He separates and puts them over here. They goats, and He puts the others over here. And they sheep. But He's always separated people. He separated Abraham from everybody else. Separated Jacob from everybody else. Separated them. And He said, this is how people's going to know you're our God. You separated us. God makes the difference between Israel, and God makes the difference between us and the rest of the world. Now I want you to see something. Look over here in Exodus 11. Look in 11. Look what God said over here. You know how He separated them, made such a difference? Same way He did Jacob and Esau. Jacob have I loved, that Esau, that old sorry rat. He said, I hated him. What made the difference? God. God did. And look what it said here in verse 7. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against any man or beast, that you may know that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptian and Israel. He said, a dog ain't even going to bark. A dog ain't even going to bark. And how did He separate us? He separated us by election. Chose us in Christ. By blood. They put the blood over those doors. Christ shed His blood. By calling. Calling us out of Egypt. Calling us out of this old world. And then He done it by His sovereign choice. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And He did it by His act of power. He brought them out with a high hand. And He done it effectually, taking them all away into the promised land. Amos asked this question, how shall two walk together except they be agreed? How shall two walk together except they be agreed? Well, I know that God and the world are not in agreement. I know that. But I tell you what, I'm in agreement with Him, ain't you? I agree with whatever He says and whatever He does. And two walk together except they be agreed. I agree with God. You know, and me change agreeing with Him ain't going to change Him one iota. Does not change Him at all. The only person it changes me. It don't change Him, it changes me. And then look what else it may say. Look what else He says now. So you separated us of all the people that are upon the face of the earth. You separated us. All the people on the earth, You made us to be Your people. And the Lord said unto Moses, I'll do this thing that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. I know my sheep, and I know them by name. And He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Huh? He went from wanting to know thy way to now, I want to see your glory. Oh God, show me thy way. Yeah. Now show me thy glory. God said, I'll do this thing, Moses. I'll do this way. And I'll do it in a twofold way. First of all, He said, He gave him a sight of His character. Look what He said in verse 19. Show me your glory. And the first thing He said, I'll make all my goodness pass before thee. I'll make all my goodness. And you know, I say this all the time, God is indeed good to Israel. But God is good in three persons. He's good in the Father. Oh, how good the Father is. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. He's good in the Son. Oh, how good is the Son. How good is He that He would come, take our nature upon Him, and bear our sins in His own body on the tree. And He's good in the Holy Spirit to bring the things and teach us the things of Christ. He's good in His ways. He's good in His actions. And oh, David said, good is thy thoughts towards me. Good is thy thoughts toward me. And then look what He says. His glory is His goodness. And He said, I'll make all my goodness pass before you. All of it. And I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before you. That's the character. I'm good. My name He said, "Woe, let I go down to Egypt. Who am I going to taste they sent me?" I am that I am. That's who you'll say. And he said, "I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before you. Wherever you go, my name will be right before you, and I'll proclaim it." And then he says, "Oh, Moses, I'm going to be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I'm going to show mercy to whom I will show mercy." Oh, the glory of God in that. The glory of God is seen, and I'll do what I do for who I'll do it for. I don't owe anybody anything. If you get anything from me, it'll be grace. If you get anything from me, it'll be mercy. And if I do it, it'll be because I do it. And I will to do it. Not because you deserve it. Not because you deserve it. I'll just do it. I'll just do it. And oh my, we see the glory of His goodness seen in Christ. And look what He says now. "And thou canst not see my face." You can't see it. "For there shall no man see me and live." Now this is something that's so true. God dwells in a light that no man can approach unto. And if we could see God as He is, outside of Christ, we could not see Him and live. So how in the world can we see God and see His glory and see His goodness and see His power and see His mercy, see His compassion, and live only through seeing Him in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? And that's what He tells us here next. That's what He shows us here. That's what He shows us. And He says, "And the Lord said by me," and the Lord said, "Behold, there's a place right here by my side." Right here, close. There's a place close. And oh, He had the shelter of His hand. He said, "And listen, and stand there on a rock. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." There's a place behind by me, and you stand on that rock right there. And this going to come to pass, and it always comes to pass like this. Now listen to what He says now. "I will put thee in the cleft of that rock." He didn't say, "Climb in there. Hide yourself in there. Crawl in there." He said, "I'm going to take you, and I'm going to put you in there." And then look what He says. "And it shall come to pass while my glory passes by." It's going to come by you, Moses. You want to see it? Well, I'm going to let you see it. "And I'm going to put you in that cleft of the rock." And then look what else He said. I will do this. "I will cover thee with my hand." Oh, my. "And then I'm going to put my hand over you while I'm passing by." We're in the hand of God and in the hand of Christ. And look what He says. "And I'll cover thee with my hand while I'll take away." And then He says, "You know, while you're in that cleft of that rock, I'm going to take away my hand. I'm going to take it away. And you go see my back part." Oh my. He saw such glory in the back parts of God that he never got over it. "But my face shall not be seen." Oh my. Nobody feels the need of God's covering more than those that behold His glory. And in the cleft of that rock, Moses had the vision of God's glory. And you know where God's glory is seen now? In His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it's seen. Oh, the glory of His goodness, the glory of His grace, the glory of His sovereignty. Oh, what glory there is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We sang that hymn, "Rock of Ages, cleft for me." And let me give you three places where God's glory has been seen. First of all, His glory was seen in the face of Moses. When Moses came down off that mountain, he had to put a veil. You know why he put a veil over his face? Because God's glory was going to fade away. And he didn't want them to see God's glory fading away. And then, secondly, we see it in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's glory is seen in the face, revealed in the glory. We see the glory of God in the face, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there was a day when Christ's glory was manifested to Stephen while they were stoning him to death. And they said, "Behold, he's got the face of an angel." And he looked up and he saw the Lord Jesus. So his glory would fade away in the law. He got no glory in the law. That's what it meant. No glory in the law. Where's God's glory at? In the face, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the face of Stephen, imparted to him. No wonder Moses said, "Show me now thy glory." Do we need him? Oh, gotta have it. And I tell you, how many times have we said, "Lord, oh, to see your glory." And every once in a while, he'll come into our midst and we'll get about that much glimpse of his glory. But you know what that does for us when we just get a little. If Moses just saw the backside, and God gives us just that much of his glory, and we see that much of it in a service sometime, we leave here feeling like we've been in the presence of God himself, just seeing that much. It don't take a whole lot. But boy, we're grateful to see it. Our Father, thank you for the day. Oh, you've been so good to us today. So gracious, so kind, so pitiful. Lord, you know who we are. You know what we are. We can't come with any pretense or hypocrisies into your presence. We come as we are. We come as we are. Needy, looking, trusting, believing, cleaving, resting, desiring your glory, desiring your will, desiring you. As David said, "Oh, to behold the King in his beauty and dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Oh, what a blessed day we've got to look forward to. We see just a little tiny, tiny, tiny bit of your glory here. But Lord, we're thankful for every time we see it, every time you manifest it in your word, in your gospel, in our hearts, in our homes, as we meditate on you and think about you, call on you. You give us just a glimpse of your glory and how it fills our heart with joy and thanksgiving. And oh Lord, we enjoy you. We enjoy you, your presence. We enjoy your power. We enjoy your grace. We enjoy you being our God. We delight in it. And thank you. In Christ's name, amen. 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 Amen.